Deuteronomy in the New Testament. Commentary for the December 18, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. Almost 2 years ago, when the COVID-19 pandemic began to unfold, many people panicked and began hoarding things in preparation for what they expected to be a viral apocalypse. Many items began to disappear from store shelves. Disinfectants became almost impossible to find. This is understandable, as pop science teaches that disinfectants kill viruses, so the more we have, the better. But strangely, people began hoarding toilet paper, leaving stores with aisles of empty shelves and dazed shoppers wondering what had just happened. Those who did their shopping weekly for necessities suddenly found themselves unable to even purchase a week's supply of toilet paper. As a result, toilet paper shortages lasted for months as panic buying spread. When shipments of toilet paper arrived in the stores, social media would be abuzz and the store would be cleaned out in minutes. Ironically, medical staff, doctors and nurses who were valiantly fighting the pandemic and could not get away to chase down these shipments may have been among those that suffered the most from the hoarding. I can only imagine how dispiriting it must have been to work long hours trying to save lives, only to go home and find that you were not even able to care for your own needs. In addition, several of these medical staffers came down with COVID, and with the hospitals over capacity, they found it difficult to find the supplies to care properly for themselves at home. Bad as it is, panic buying was not the only problem. Some were buying up these things to sell on the black market. In April 2020, once he found out about the panic buying, a man in Adelaide, Australia, had bought up 5,400 rolls of toilet paper that he tried to sell on the black market, even to local stores that had none, at a huge markup to get rich from other people's suffering. As people like him began posting on social media marketplaces, prices soared. Disinfectant wipes that would normally go for $3 were now bringing $10 or more. Similar markups appeared for toilet paper. With shortages created by panic buying and profiteering, it was hard for even the most stoic to ignore the frenzy. Fortunately, 2 years on, the availability at reasonable prices for most of these things has been restored. But even so, like for those who went through the Great Depression of the early 20th century, many are keeping more items on hand in their homes than before the pandemic began. For Christians, the experience is particularly troubling, not least because I fear that when the predicted apocalypse finally does arrive, there will not be any toilet paper. Seriously, though, according to the Exodus, all those people who left Egypt were to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. How long do we think whatever supplies they carried with them from Egypt would last? A few weeks or months? They survived not because of what they brought with them. Instead, we read repeatedly in the Bible that God provided them with water and food. He even sustained their clothing for 40 years. This is a remarkable testimony of God's willingness to care for us. Every day that the manna fell confirmed God's abiding care and compassion, and when it did not appear on the Sabbath, God made sure there was enough to provide for everyone. The Pentateuch is primarily about the Exodus and Moses, what led up to it from creation to Joseph, how it unfolded, what experience taught them, and how it shaped Iron Age Jewish culture and continues to influence societal expectations for the three major Abrahamic faith traditions today: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Despite the lessons of gods attending to their needs in the past, all three seem to be overly drawn to the accumulation of wealth as a means of security and power. Just as the cadre of the wealthy were threatened by Jesus and his radical preaching about people turning to God, who cares for and loves them, instead of the leaders who, with their wealth, could buy and sell whomever they chose, they remain opposed to Christ's message today, a message of love and compassion for one another, even for those we despise. Worth is often measured by bank accounts, stock holdings, and the amount of personal property. Too many call extravagant personal wealth a blessing from God, and extrapolate that to mean that the wealthy are more righteous than the poor. An entire theological school grew up built upon that idea. They believe that those who are poor are so because they have rejected God's desire to bless them, and therefore have lost God's favor. Therefore, the wealthy are so because they have accepted God's blessing, where others have not. It does not take much examination of Scripture to see that we have gone astray, just as the pre-exilic Jews did, much as the Jews of Christ's day had, and as too many of the modern churches, synagogues, and mosques have. But the words of Christ still call to all three to remind them that it is God who sustains and provides. When Jesus cast aside all the provision of this world to spend 40 days in the wilderness, he was pointing back to the Exodus experience, a day in the wilderness for each year of that ancient journey. Although there is little mention of Satan and his influence in the Pentateuch, some similarities stand out. Repeatedly, the Israelite wanderers gave in on the point of appetite. Since the experience in Eden at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, humanity has been susceptible to appetite, and it has only gotten worse with time. We all know this about each other. It is why the candy shelves are by the cash register in the supermarkets. The entire advertising industry relies upon appealing to appetite. It was upon this point that the devil came to Jesus. Who among us has not said, "I am starved," after only being away from eating for a matter of hours? We cannot begin to imagine what 40 days must have been like. We diet for health reasons today and experience the temptation of television advertisements for pizza, burgers, ice cream, chocolate, and more. With millennia to hone such temptations, it is little wonder that obesity is a growing global problem. But when the devil tempted Jesus to make a simple crust of bread to sate his hunger, he replied that it was God and his word that sustains us. This not only pointed back to God's care during the Exodus, but to creation as well, when God spoke everything into existence. It would be capricious and make no sense to think that God would do all of that without purpose. And if there's purpose, it makes no sense to fail to promote that purpose by sustaining his creation. As Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, why would God care for the flowers and the birds with their short lifespans and not care for the rest of creation, especially man created in his image? Sometimes, when overwhelmed by the struggle of the journey, we forget God's compassionate presence. While we may not dress with exotic materials by famous fashion houses, we are clothed. While we may not have everything to eat and drink that our appetite desires, we nonetheless thrive and grow. Though we may not live on an estate in a mansion, God provides us with a place to lay our head each night, even if, like Jacob, it is only a stone beneath a star-filled sky. God's presence makes it a holy place for us, as it was for him. The devil may offer us the entire world and believe that it is his to give, but everything is God's by right of creation. We have allowed ourselves to accept the devil as our landlord, but he's not. letting him act that part and steer our destinies with his temptations and false promises has only brought chaos and heartache to our lovely planet. The planet groans under that suffering and deeply desires to see humanity restored to God's image of compassion, grace, and love once again, and bring harmony and peace to creation. The devil does not want that. He will do anything to prevent it. He will tell us whatever we want to hear to lead us away from that. He will even make it appear that we are doing God's will, if it will keep us from loving our enemies. He will rail against enemies with a religious fervor that demands their destruction rather than their salvation. He will even, in the garb of religious orthodoxy, accuse the righteous of being of the devil, for he did exactly that with Jesus. The devil promises us the world and all its wealth, just as he did to Jesus, if we will only follow him. But there is a catch not mentioned when the devil tempted Christ. It is the world as it is, not the world as it was meant to be. We can do better through Christ. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the written and podcast versions of hundreds more commentaries at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.